of Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. We are going deep into this portion of scriptures, and I believe the Lord will speak to us. Hallelujah. Philippians 3, verse 2. The Bible says, beware of dogs. Paul, where are you going with that? Beware of dogs. Beware of evildoers, evil workers. Beware of the concision party. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Give me the next slide, please. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, right? He says, we are not of those who have confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other things that he has reason to trust in the flesh, I more. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As regards to the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuted the church. Regarding the righteousness in the law, blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. But whatever things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. For whatever things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Whatever was gainful for me, that I counted loss for Christ. Now, if you're joining us for the first time this morning, you find us in the middle of a series titled The Breakthrough Mindset. And so we are doing part three this morning. We are talking about the breakthrough mindset. Now, this morning I want to talk to you on the subject matter titled Rightfully Positioning Your Confidence. Rightfully positioning your confidence. As we are talking about the breakthrough mindset, you've got to ask the location of your confidence right now. Where is your confidence located? Do you know that confidence is a mindset? Confidence is a mindset. Put this down. Confidence is a mindset which refers to the feeling or belief that one can have faith in or rely on someone or something. When you have confidence in your wife, you know your wife will not let you down. When you have confidence in your friend, you know that they are called away. They are not those type of friends who do not pick your calls. You have faith in them, you trust them, and this is what I'm talking about. The confidence mindset is when you have faith, you have trust, you believe that somebody will come through for you. And I want you to realize this morning that whatever you rely on will determine the outcome of your life. Whatever you depend on will determine where your life will end up. And where we've read, Paul starts off by making a very brave statement, or somebody would call it he was being mean, he was being abrasive. What does he say? He's called certain people dogs and evil workers. Paul, what are you talking about here? Dogs were unclean animals in the eyes of the Jewish people. Are you saying that these people were so unclean that they deserve to be termed dogs? Paul was going somewhere as he was teaching the people at Philippi. He was saying, beware of dogs and beware of evildoers. Who were these doers? Who were these dogs, so-called dogs by Paul? Now, Paul was tired of dealing with the religious people of the time, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees. These were the religious leaders who were guarding the temple and making it impossible for the people of God to experience God in the temple. These were the people who would stand at the door and they would tell you, the way you look, you cannot enter. This is a holy place. These are the people who would stand by the offering basket waiting for the offerings to come and say, that pigeon cannot be sacrificed. In other words, the dogs and these evildoers were so fixated by external appearance. These are the people who are saying, the way you look outside is a measure of your spirituality. You've got to dress up. Unless you've gone through the ceremony of being clothed with a church uniform, you don't qualify to be called a member of the church. Come on now. This is what Paul was talking about. And therefore he was saying to his people in the church at Philippi, be careful of those people. Be careful of people who are so fixated by form and not by being. You can be so attached to form, but you fail to live out what is behind what you profess. And this was the story of the Pharisees. Now, he told the children of the Philippi, he was saying to them, do not be gullible. The fact that there is somebody who is able to call out your name without knowing you, the fact that there is somebody who is able to tell you your underwear color, doesn't mean that they are servants of God. Come on now. The fact that somebody knows the day you were born because they went on your Facebook profile and they checked when you were born doesn't make them a servant of God. And therefore he was saying to them, do not be gullible. Test everything to see whether it lines up with the truth found in the Word. And today we have a lot of gullible believers because we so much want to see results in our lives. We want to see the miraculous and the supernatural. We can easily be swayed by anybody who can actually show some signs. Do you know they accused Jesus of being demonized by Beelzebub? Do you know that they said the power that you have and the miracles you're doing is because Beelzebub is part of this? Which means Beelzebub has been seen to be able to do certain signs, miracles, and wonders. So the fact that somebody is able to operate in that dimension doesn't make them genuine and legit. I'm just putting that to you. That do not be gullible, be aware and be careful. Test and see that all of these lines up with the scriptures. Now, Paul says when it comes to the things of God, it's not about that externality. It's not about the outward appearance. He says worshiping God in the spirit is what matters. Worshiping God and rejoicing in Christ Jesus is what matters, not confidence in the flesh. Now, every believer needs to ask themselves this question. Or a number of questions. Let me help you. What makes you think that you live beyond 70 years of age? Is it because you've been drinking herbal tea? I don't have a problem with herbal tea, but I'm just saying. Is it because you've been exercising every single day and because of that, I'm going to make it beyond 70? What makes you confident that you'll get the job you applied for? You walked out of that interview so confident that I got this job. Or I'm going to go into this interview, I've got the experience, I've got the qualifications, I've got the looks. What makes you think you'll get the job? What do you rely on when you say, my kids will be the best among their peers? Is it because you are always with them? Sometimes we don't interrogate the basis of our confidence. Many times we walk around with misplaced confidence. We don't say it, but we've grown up to think in a certain way, and yet it is misplaced confidence. Put this down. Misplaced confidence is a source of emotional stress in one's life. when your confidence is in the wrong place, because most of the times those places fail us, we end up living on the edge. You have placed confidence in that man for a long time, and a number of times he dropped you. And because of that, you're on the edge all the time because you don't know whether he's going to come through or not. You place confidence in the banks. And a number of times the banks have rejected your application. And right now there's an application with the banks and you are stressed. Why? Because they have let you down before. Misplaced confidence is a source of stress for a lot of us. You have studied before, you have applied your mind before, and the exams did not go so well, and today you've studied and you want to write an exam, you are stressed. Why? Because you trusted in your ability to study before and it did not work out. And because of that, emotional stress. What am I saying this morning? It is important to interrogate the basis of our confidence. Now, nothing is as tempting as having confidence in your natural abilities. It is so tempting to trust in your natural abilities to make progress in your life. Because that is what is apparent. It's what we see. It's what we experience every day. And therefore, if you are not careful, you are an athlete. You can easily place confidence in your ability to endure races. You've got confidence in that. And because of that, you usually don't pray for your competitions. Those of you who are athletes. It's easy. Because you know money is going to come on the 25th of the month, every month, you've got confidence that I will get paid. And because of that, we don't pray for provision. Come on now. There's somebody hearing me this morning. I'm talking about misplaced confidence. So you trust in your boss to pay you at the end of every month. And for the past year, he has missed a number of payments. And because you never condition yourself to pray for provision, you get so emotionally stressed because you don't know whether he's going to pay or not. You see where I'm going with this? When we have misplaced confidence in our lives, that is a source of most of our stresses. You live in a secure place, so to speak, but a number of times they've hit people around you. And because of that, you sit on the edge. You cannot sleep well because you don't know if today it might come your way. But the Bible says, I will surround you like fire. I will surround you with a wall. And there is protection around you. The moment you place your confidence aright, these emotional stresses might not be an issue. You'll be able to manage them better. Look at this. Jeremiah 17 verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed. Okay, that word cursed, it means you are empowered not to prosper. Conditions are created around you that are meant to bring you down. And Jeremiah is saying here, the Lord says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and what makes his flesh or makes flesh his strength. Now, the time when this was written, the Jewish people were trusting on other nations for their protection. They were trusting in the Egyptians. They were trusting in the Assyrians. And the Lord comes to them and he says, woe to you. Cursed are you when you make flesh your strength. When you find other scriptures in the same context, says, these Egyptians that you trust in, they are like a broken reed that will pierce anyone who leans on it. So he was warning them that this Egyptian army that you trust in cannot be depended on. And the Lord is saying here, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. Now, what's the issue? For he shall be like a juniper in the desert and shall not see when good comes. Other verses says when riches come, he will not experience them. He will not see them coming his way. But he shall live in the perished places in the wilderness, in a salt land that is not inhabited. Again, I want to ask a question. Where is your confidence coming from? Where is your confidence coming from? Look at this. Misplaced confidence relies more on the creature than on the creator. Misplaced confidence relies more on the creature, stuff that God has created, and not on God. And it is important for us to really interrogate why we are so excited coming into 2022. Now, at the center of misplaced confidence is the spirit of idolatry. I want you to hear me good. At the center of misplaced confidence, it is the spirit of idolatry. The moment you esteem anybody above God, that is tantamount to idolatry. The moment you say, my happiness will be complete the moment I get married, that is idolatry. Why? Because you are saying God is not able to provide happiness until this dude comes my way, then I am complete. Misplaced confidence. The moment you say, I'm not able to start my day without having a cup of coffee, you are then saying there is something that coffee can give me that God cannot give me. Come on now. I mean, I can extrapolate that to many other issues in our lives. That if I cannot have this in my life, therefore my life is not complete. Therefore, God is not able to provide what other things are providing for you. That is the issue of our lives. That is the issue of every believer this morning. If there's anything that you hold on to, and you tell me today that if I don't have this in my system, I am not stable, you are making that thing a god. And the Bible says, you shall have no other god except me. And now, seated in this place, I want you to ask yourself, what is it that you keep on doing as a source of comfort, as a source of relief, as a source of joy and happiness? Whatever that thing is, it has taken a place that it should not take. The Lord Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. It's either you serve money or you serve God. It is so important, saying we can sugarcoat these matters, but if there's a product in your life right now that is giving you more than what God can give, in inverted commas, there is a problem right there. Put this down. Confidence is like the soil upon which your life is planted and established. So confidence is like the soil around which your life is planted. And if the soil is good, the crop will be good. So if your confidence is in the right place, if your confidence is okay, if it is Jehovah God, your life will come right. If your confidence is in your pastor, you are at the risk of being tripped one day, because he is not God. He cannot take the place of God. Even the Lord Jesus would tell the people, why do you call me a good teacher? He was saying everything must go back to the Father. Let's give glory to where glory is due. I'm not even saying don't bring honor to people around you. Yes, honor, but not worship. Come on now. Now, misplaced confidence will cause you to miss out opportunities. Why? Because you're focusing on the wrong source. Now, last week, we started looking at the makeup of this breakthrough mindset, right? If you are here. If not, you can catch up on our website, on our Facebook page. we started looking at the makeup of this mindset called breakthrough mindset. As we are going through Philippians chapter 3, and hear me good, we are just looking at Philippians 3. There are many other places we can glean into. But for now, we are looking at Philippians chapter 3. And the first mindset was, make Christ your chief joy. Okay? Rejoice in the Lord. And today we're going to look at mindset number 2. Now, mindset number 2 is this. You need to rightfully position your confidence. That is so important for where you're going, for what God wants to do in your life. You need to rightfully position your confidence. Because the location of your confidence will determine the outcome of your life. If you have confidence that your children will do right because they are under your roof, what happens when they go to UCT one day for varsity? What happens one day when they move out of the house? What happens when they go on camps? You'll be on edge. Because you're not with them. You don't know what's going to happen with them. But when your confidence is in the Lord, the Bible says your children shall be taught of the Lord. Hallelujah. So when your confidence is in the God who is able to take care of that which came out of your womb, you will sleep at night. Glory be to God. Because He is an ever-present God. Put your kids in the hands of the Almighty God and you can go to bed. You do what you can do, but ultimately, He's the one who guards them. He's the one who guides their steps. He's the one who ensures that they will have the right people around them. Glory be to God. And even when they have the wrong people around them, the Lord will shield their hearts from contamination. Hallelujah. Now, rightfully positioning your confidence, this is a make or break mindset. The issue of placing your confidence where it should, I would call it a make or break mindset. Why? It will determine your level of success as a believer. It will determine, as I mentioned, your stress levels and the peace that you'll experience in your life. You see, when your confidence is rightly positioned, you can be in the middle of a storm, yet your life remains together. Why? Because you rely on somebody who is stronger than the storm. You rely on somebody who says, I know how to calm the storms. When Jesus was in the boat with the disciples and the ship was being battered by the waves and the wind, Jesus said, be still, hush. He spoke to the storm. And that was the saving grace. Jesus was present in the moment of the storm. When Jesus is present with you and you're being hit by the storms of life, it's a matter of time before Jesus says, hush, it's enough. It determines your peace. And it determines your level of expectation concerning tomorrow. You know, the reason why some of us here have given up on our dreams, it is because we have seen so much failure in our lives that we are now afraid to write down our vision and our goals. That is why at the beginning of 2022, some of us could not get to the point of opening up a journal and to write down certain things. But when your confidence shifts from the circumstances around us to the one who gives the vision, you'll be able to still write down. The Bible says, write down the vision on the tablet so that whoever sees it might run. Glory be to God. For the vision is for an appointed time. It will not lie. Wait for it patiently. What am I talking about? When your confidence is rightly positioned, you know that this vision that I have was not because I had overeaten that night. It is because Jehovah dropped it into my spirit, man, and I will wait on Him. Glory be to God. Rightfully position your confidence. Now, in order to make the shift, in order for us to change, we need to be able to identify some sources of confidence that we have walked with. Back in the days, the bank tellers, before there were these machines that can distinguish between fake money and real money, the bank tellers were given the real money to feel over a long time, to have a sense of the grains over this money, so that when they count the money and a fake one is placed in, they'll be able to feel like this is fake. So you've got to be able to be exposed to something for you to distinguish it from what's not real. And now let's look at a number of things here. Let's explore signs of misplaced confidence. What are some of the signs of misplaced confidence? And Paul was very smart. He was talking about himself, and in the process of him talking about himself, he was highlighting to the church at Philippi that watch out for these things. Watch out for these areas, because it is tempting to trust in them. What are those? Number one, confidence in observing religious rituals. Paul was saying to them, there's nothing wrong with religious rituals, but be careful to run your life based on how you adhere to religious rituals. What do I mean by this? Some religious rituals are very fundamental to the fullness of our walk with God, but they are not the source of salvation. We can speak of baptism, water baptism. Every child of God needs to be water baptized. But water baptism doesn't bring salvation to you. The Bible speaks about you are condemned if you don't believe in Jesus, not if you are not water baptized. Jesus was water baptized. He said, let's do it to fulfill all righteousness. It is important that you be water baptized, but salvation doesn't come by being water baptized. Let's talk about Holy Communion. It's one of the commands that Jesus gave us. He says, do this as often as you can. But that's not the source of healing. It's a point of contact. Holy Communion enables us to be reminded of the finished works of Calvary, but healings come from God. Glory be to God. I know certain people are so fixated to a point where Holy Communion becomes a small god, because why? We've been taught when you take Holy Communion, you experience all these things. Your faith should not be in the Holy Communion. Your faith should be on Jesus, the one who heals and delivers your life. Does somebody hear me this morning? It is important for us to rightly position things. Let me talk about this. Sometimes we violate these principles because we know we really want them to be part of our lives. Let's talk about Holy Communion. Do you know that Holy Communion, it is so sacred that it's meant for people who believe in Jesus Christ? Holy Communion is for those who have given their life to Jesus. It's a matter of the blood. It testifies of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Now, if you don't believe in Jesus, how do you do that? Do you know that some of us as parents, we get so fixated about giving Holy Communion to our children? Our children who don't know Jesus yet. Pastor, what are you talking about? We don't baptize children. They haven't come to the age of knowing Jesus by themselves. Baptism is a public declaration that I belong to Jesus. This child hasn't given his life to Jesus. Now, I know people who say to you, Pastor, I want to give my child Holy Communion. Are we not making it a god now? Food for thought. Now, let's talk about baby christening. I know some of us come from backgrounds where it is so important to do baby christening. But baby Christian doesn't take your child to heaven. No, your child needs to hear the gospel at some point. We need to preach Christ to our children so that they have an opportunity to say yes to the Lord Jesus. And that is what brings salvation in their lives. When you come here with your child, we don't baptize your child. we will dedicate the life to Jesus. We will pray for the parents that the Lord would use them to show this child the ways of the Lord, so that at the right time, they will say yes to Jesus by themselves. For the Bible says, whoever believes, that person has to believe. Glory be to God. Without having this understanding, we start making things, putting our confidence in the wrong place. Now, Paul could have done that. Paul could have trusted in his ability to live by the rituals, but he knew rituals will always fall short. The Bible says in Philippians 3, verse 4, if any other things that he has reason to trust in the flesh, I more. I was circumcised the eighth day. That was a religious ritual. He had the marks of the covenant on him, but the marks of the covenant fell short of bringing salvation in his life. The marks of the covenant could not bring him to a place of relationship with Jesus. And he is saying to the church at Philippi, be careful to put too much weight on rituals. Now put this down. When an overemphasis is placed on religious rituals, they easily become a tripping idol for you. When we overemphasize certain rituals, they can become an idol to us. That is why some people will leave churches if they are told, look, just take your time, wait for your child to come to know Jesus, and then we'll baptize them. But because they grew up in an environment where Christianing was the thing to be done, they pick offense. Now, here I want you to realize some of these things can become tripping hazards in our lives if we don't understand the processes. Number two, what is the second area we can place our confidence in? Over-reliance on birthright privileges. Let's talk about that. When we over-rely on our birthright privileges, you see, if you do not pay attention, you can lean on what looks like advantages based on your origin, based on your looks, based on your language, based on your inheritance. And these things can become a source of confidence if we are not careful. Paul had it all to rely on. Paul had it all to rely on his birthright privileges. Look at his birthright privileges. He says here, if any other things that he has the reason to trust in the flesh, I more, right? I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. So he was saying, in terms of purity, I am the real McCoy. In terms of being a pure breed, of being a Hebrew, it doesn't get better than what you see here. I am of the pure stock of Israel, okay? I am of the tribe of Benjamin. We all know that Benjamin was the last son of Jacob, and he was the most loved one. And because of that, the tribe of Benjamin was one of the most popular tribes. The tribe of Benjamin is a tribe that stood with the tribe of Judah when every other tribe rebelled against Judah. So regarding being real to his background, he was the real guy. He came from the tribe of the Benjamin. Regarding Hebrews of the Hebrews, both mama and daddy were Israelites by birth. Now, Paul could have used that to his advantage. But verse 7 says, I counted everything that was gained to me loss for the sake of Christ. And I want you to ask yourself this morning, what are you counting on? What are you counting on? Now, instead of trusting God, we can count on other things to open doors for us. As a nation, we come from a background and we are in a situation right now where we've been taught that the way you look determines where you can go, what you can do, what job you can get. and what you're allowed to do. We come from a background where the pigmentation of your skin determines which school you can attend. I mean, we know plenty of places where you can't get interested in schools if you have a certain pigmentation. If we are not careful, we get so customized to trusting in our birthright, our physical state. See, Paul was not about to deny his physical appearance, but one thing he was not going to do was to count on his physical appearance to be a source of his confidence. It is so important for you to answer certain questions in your life to say, what makes you so confident that you'll be promoted at work? Is it because you are darker of complexion? We talk about BBEEE in our country today. Where people are promoted just because you are darker in complexion. Does that become a place of confidence for your promotion? But the Bible tells me, promotion neither comes from the east nor from the west. But promotion comes from the Lord, the one who raises up one man and brings down another man. We need the renewal of our minds to move away from depending on our birthright privileges. There are certain people who get jobs because of the looks. It looks like certain jobs are meant for people who look in a certain way. If you are to be a PA to a CEO, you have to look a certain way. You have to talk a certain way. Now, we can be in that trap where we are so fixated about looks. That is why sometimes we even go for skin lightening products so that we can look lighter. Come on now. Hello? God have mercy. We must change this. Put this down. Every time you depend on your birthright privileges, you miss out on divinely appointed breakthroughs. Every time if it's about where you come from, because I'm a Zulu-speaking person, therefore this area is for the Zulus, I'm going to get this position, you're going to miss divinely appointed breakthroughs, because divinely appointed breakthroughs has nothing to do with your birthright privileges. It has everything to do with God. Talk about Leah and Rachel. Rachel was younger than Leah. Rachel was more beautiful. Rachel was loved by Jacob. And on the day of the wedding, Rachel was swapped with Leah. Lo and behold, the one who was not lovable was in bed with Jacob. Tomorrow morning, dude, what happened? You gave me the wrong wife. Laban says, listen, yeah, we don't do it in this place. The older one has to be married first before the younger one. You better work for the two. How can you do that to me? Jacob was prepared in another 7 years for Rachel. When it came to childbearing, Leah gave birth to boys, one after the other. Rachel, dololo. It's not about looks. It's not about being likable. It's about the one who gives grace. Hallelujah. It's about the one who opens doors based on what he wants to do in our lives. Glory be to God. Rachel gave birth to boys, one after another. And there was Leah gave birth to boys, and Rachel, there was nothing until Rachel complained to Jacob, give me a child. And Jacob said, am I now God? Am I now God to give you a child? What am I saying today? Every time we depend on our birthright privileges, we miss out on what Jesus wants to do. So, so important. Number three, confidence in one's intellectual capacity. How many times we got brains, right? We've got the education. We've got the experience. We've got the skill. We've got natural talent. We've got ability to do whatever we can, you know, whatever is put inside in front of us, we make it look good. There are certain people who are graced that way. Now, there's nothing that can ensnare God's people as much as an accumulation of knowledge. You'll have PhD people in the church sitting there and listening to this pastor. Like, oh, no, this guy has missed a line there. He should have said it that way. And what's the issue there? It is because somebody is carrying so many degrees beyond the thermometer. And this pastor comes with a certificate. But it's not about how much you know. It's about the one who calls. Glory be to God. God will call the riffraff of this world for the glory of his name. Hallelujah. So when you are in a ministry, it's not about how much you know. It's about what God has called you to do. Paul was an educated person, highly educated, biblically literate. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He sat under Dr. Gamaliel, doctor of theology. And Paul was taught until he became the top of the Pharisees. Look at this. Philippians 3 verse 5. As regards the law, I was a Pharisee. When it comes to knowledge, guys, don't play with me. I know my Bible. That is what Paul was saying to them. I know the ins and outs. I can teach you sleeping. But when I considered that to the knowledge of Jesus, I counted it loss. When it came to being intimate with Jesus Christ, I counted it loss. And this morning, I want to say to you, it doesn't matter how educated you are. We've got to take on a demeanor of a child and say, I lay it down so that you can give me what I should run with. Glory be to God. When it comes to the law, I was a Pharisee. You see, your knowledge of something does not guarantee your success in it. You see, there's a felony of narrow education. So a doctor, a PhD person, goes narrow and deep over a subject matter. But this guy is deep around microbiology, but very shallow around farming. So when you go to a farmer, don't pull out your CV because you're a PhD in microbiology. He will tell you, we don't do microbiology here. We do soil. Okay? We do soil here. I can smell that it's about to rain because I've been around here for a long time. I know when I see this type of clouds, I'll tell my boys, let's go plow. It's not about microbiology there. It's about life experience. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What am I talking about this morning? Don't allow education to get into your mind to a point where you cannot rightly position your knowledge. Let's do the last one. So the first one, this third one also talks about all the natural abilities, you know. The way we look, you know, and the strength that we have and the natural ability. Some people just know how to put things together. But we don't trust in that. They augment what God is calling us to do. Number four, confidence in one's moral uprightness. Confidence in one's moral uprightness. It is easy for me to judge everybody that jumps the traffic light. How many times have you been behind this guy and, you know, in the morning you're going to the gym and you know this guy's just going to go through. Like, how dare he does that? How dare he does that? We judge people because we're saying in this area, I don't jump traffic lights. I don't do that. But there are many other things that we don't get right, isn't it? There are many other things that we don't get right. Now, how often do we feel that heaven owes us something because we've been behaving well recently? How often do we feel so confident in our prayers because this last week you've been doing well? You haven't been angry with those mosquitoes in your house? You haven't killed some of those flies? You haven't done none of that? You haven't kicked your dog? Sorry, Lisa, but you've been very nice with those puppies. You feel like, I've done well. God, love, I deserve answers. You start making prayers in confidence because you behaved well this week. The flip side is you tripped right through the week. The lights were out the whole week. And therefore, you cannot pray with confidence because you're tripping right through the week. Confidence misplaced. Now, we cannot attain to God's righteousness by striving for it. Our righteousness, the Bible says, are like filthy rags before God. We take on the righteousness of Jesus, the one who entered the Holy of Holies, the one who shed his blood that was so perfect that the blood was allowed to come through into the temple in heaven. Now, Philippians 3 verse 6, the Bible says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. So Paul had redefined righteousness. For him, everybody that did not adhere to the Pharisaical way of life deserved to die. That is why he had to fall off his donkey one day. When we carry our own righteousness, we are hitching our own donkeys. And Jesus cannot have you on your own horse if he's going to work with you. And on that day, on his way to Damascus, Paul met the real one. And he said, Lord, what would you have me do? But he was zealous. He was righteous. And the Bible says here, because regarding the righteousness in the law, blameless, clean sheet of hell. You cannot find anything wrong with me, he thought. And yet he murdered. And yet he stood there when Stephen was being stoned to death, holding the man's jacket like, yeah, kill him. He does not know the truth. In his mind, he was in righteous state. Many times, we have our own defined way of righteousness. And the Bible says, when you come before God with your CV and telling God how well you have done, he looks at you and says, we haven't started. We've got to come to a place where you say, Lord, I cannot attain to your righteousness, but I thank you that through your righteousness, I have access to the throne room of God. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. Put this down. Every time you define your own measure of righteousness, you become vulnerable to the deception of sin. Every time you redefine righteousness, we become vulnerable to deception. May the Lord help us to stick it out. Now, in conclusion, as we finish, in conclusion, your confidence can only be correctly positioned when Christ is highly esteemed above all. We leave it there this morning to say, is there anything that is esteemed above Christ? For us to rightly position our confidence, Paul says, I have counted everything as loss. Everything that was gained to me, I have counted it as loss for Christ. In other words, he was saying, I am not prepared to have anything to threaten my ability to connect with Jesus. Anything that has a threat towards my relationship with Jesus, I will chuck it out. And this morning, I want you to ask yourself, is Christ highly esteemed above all in your life? In your conversations? In your relationships? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, there is so much that we can rely on. Lord, we can rely on our looks. We can rely on our ability to speak eloquently. We can rely on our qualifications. We can rely on our friends and our relationships. But Lord, this morning, none of that matters. We want Jesus to be esteemed above everything. As I'm praying right now, I just feel the Lord saying, the reason why some of you